Well, a very good evening to you out there, and thanks for tuning in this Monday evening here on Terrace Talk, coming to you as always. We do live from our studios here in Tralee, Harave, Sosta, Gofeder, Lat, Velin, Erin True, Ila, Sarah, Venk, Iha, De Luan, in the company of Liam and John. And if you want to get in contact with us, our phone lines are open, 0667123666. Or you can text us on WhatsApp as well on 083 300 3300. Now, tonight's show, it's a long one. It's 2 hours of, well, it's an awful lot of G on it. Kerry's big win over Roscommon, we'll discuss that. We'll discuss the Kerry ladies win, of course. Much larger margin as well, above in Meath with Dan Carney. James McCarthy and her starter 4 on. We'll look at what's in store after 7 o'clock for the Kerry hurlers after their next defeat to Laois, which ends the league campaign, I suppose. So all thoughts on the championship for there. Mercy Mount Hawk, of course, their hopes of a first Hogan Cup were dashed by CBS Oma in Croke Park. So all that and a little bit more. The second hour we will be looking at the county hurling and football leagues in the company of Terence Hoolan and Christy Killeen, along with a couple of players as well who've experienced the highs of the county leagues, particularly in promotion. And we will talk a little bit about score at the very end of the show as well. So there you go, that's your card marked for this evening. Liam and John join us. John Kennedy, we were talking about how important it was for Kerry to start gathering up the wins. It's a win. It's most definitely a win. Not too much to be excited about. It's just ordinary run-of-the-mill win. Yeah. Got to Dublin, got out of Roscommon.
Yeah, it was, look, a win. As you said, Donald, we were safe anyway. You know, but we're definitely safe now. Now we've a chance of getting the final, which is the way the league is. Not firing in all cylinders, getting off the line, you know. You'd be more disappointed with Roscommon the way they played, because of the fact they were fighting for their spot in Division 1, you know. And I think we were in control for most of it. When they brought it back to 2 or 3 points, then, you know, we made a few substitutions. I think Paul Gaines' introduction, very impressive, 2 points. Later on, the goal for Joe Connor. You know, job done, move on. The downside, I think, is the injury to Jason Foley.
Which looks fairly severe.
It does, looks fairly serious. You know, there was a lot of concern the minute he went down, limped off, and we haven't too many options now for the defence, being honest with you, and particularly Jason. You know, he's in the spine of our defence. He's a huge player for us, and at this stage, you know, he'll be it's a race against time, I'd say, for the first round of the championship. Mm-hmm. But look, that's for another day. But we got the 2 points and we move on.
Mm-hmm. Liam, I suppose we're talking about the league and we're talking about how good it is in a competition, but is there a certain element in the league where different teams are looking at it differently? Roscommon looked like a team yesterday were interested in parts. Kerry were kind of, you know, wanted to maybe develop their patience a lot more. I mean, the first point took 2 minutes. There was a couple of more 3-4 minute passages where Kerry held on to the ball, recycled beautifully, never really in any trouble or in any doubt. So was it a case of two teams, even though they're in the league, they're preparing for championship?
Well, I suppose there'd be a bit of that, but I do think also the way the football has gone down, the way football has been played, like, it was very subdued. You had both teams who kind of...
Is St. Patrick's Day a day for football?
No, not really.
That be part of the
subdued? That'd be a lot of it as well, yeah. And I suppose, look, I do think, and there's been a lot of talk about the league, maybe the finals and stuff like that could be a thing that could scrap and whoever tops the league, it'd probably make it more a bit more interesting, that whoever tops the league will get the cup and walk away. Whereas now you have to kind of teams saying, no, we don't want to get to the final, and it's happening every year. No, we're going to be out the following week in the championship, but we don't want to get to the final, you know, that kind of stuff. But no, it was a very subdued kind of a game, even though there was over 6,500 people. Like John said, I thought Roscommon would come out with a bit more fire. They didn't. I think it was the 20th minute before they actually had their first turnover in the first half, you know, and they were playing with the breeze. You know, they never came at us, you know, that kind of a way. And we were able to sit back and we were able to pick them off and we were able to kick the few points and stuff like that in the first half. But yeah, disappointing for Roscommon, because I thought they were going to have give us, because conditions were poor enough. We had a couple of showers before the game and they were monsoons, they weren't showers. It actually knocked the hoarding around the field at one stage as well. And I said, this is going to be a leveller here now, the weather. But no, they didn't come out, they just sat back and they left us. Like I said, it was the 20th minute before they laid their hand, they had their first turnover on us, so they just kind of left us have the ball.
Yeah, let's look at Kerry. So first of all, I suppose we'll take the huge positives out of it. 10 different scorers, they kicked 116 out of 117, John, all from play.
Yeah. Some of the points we got were brilliant, Donald. Great moves and that, you know. And the question maybe you'd ask if we were being negative is why we didn't go more direct. Because when we did, we caused a lot of trouble, you know. I think Darrell Roach playing aside full forward, he's a fulcrum. You know, he stayed in there, and David was in there for most of the time with him. But I thought that the use of the ball was very good. The runs from Gavin White from the half-back line.
He's back to his old self.
Yeah. He ran straight through the middle. You know, sometimes we might have said...
Is he running more from the centre-back position, though, than the half-back? You say the half-back, yeah. But I mean, he goes up the middle now, not on the wing, because early in the campaign... He went up the wing and he might have been put out over the side. But there's a lot more safety if you're going pretty fast down the middle.
There is, yeah. He's going up the middle. And, you know, before he might get caught going into cul-de-sacs. But no, his sights have the man now. He's going and he's not running into trouble. He's laying it off before it. Causing a lot of trouble for the opposing defences. But look, we kicked some great scores. David kicked some great scores. As I said, you know, a lot of Darren Mine had chipped in with his point. Shawnee Shea. Barry Dan got 2 points. Joe Connor, impressive in the middle.
Two midfielders were impressive now.
Yeah, you know, Joe's work rate. He's a great engine. I think he's improving with every game, in fairness to him. And, you know, he's getting scores. Even the goal, he was in the right place for Paul Gainey's pass. Mm-hmm. That shows that he's up there with the attack. But very, very positive. You know, maybe a negative is that when Roscommon ran at us, we were a bit open again. But look, we won zone in the negatives. We got the 2 points. Mm-hmm. You know, we're safe in Division 1. And do we need to get to league final? Do we want to get there? Possibly we can. Maybe we don't, I'm not so sure, but...
It's a big ask, a league final, to be fair. I mean, Kerry win, but because of that beating in Dublin, Liam, we'd want to beat Galway by an awful lot.
And
still, on the proviso, want Dublin to lose as well. Fairly unlikely, but still, I mean, Kerry have won 4 league games. Jack, I presume, will want to win a 5th one.
Yeah, but he will, I think. There's talks about that we should... No, go out and kind of. We're hearing stories that there could be a B team put out against Galway and all that. I don't think Jack will. Because look.
We probably don't have enough players.
We don't have enough players for a B team. And plus, we're out in the Championship in the end of April. I think 20th of April. So these are all games you want to be building towards. But I think next weekend. But if I was, we'll say a fantasy manager, I wouldn't. Like to be facing Derry or Dublin at the moment in a league final. I think I'd be keeping my powder dry and wait for maybe June, meet him in a quarter final or semi final or so down the line, and have a good rattle off him. Then I don't think it'd do us any good because I think we have a lot of polishing to be doing around the sides, and we need to be sorting out a few things in our own camp first.
Yeah, John, let's go back to midfield. I mean, it's something the listeners want to talk about nearly every other week. There isn't a single comment in to say about the midfield, so obviously that's a vote of confidence. Then there's nobody saying, "God, we were beaten or we lost possession." Or Joe O'Connor ends up with 1-1. He's actually scored 3-3 since the start of the year, 2-2 in the Championship. When you have a midfielder who's adding in a couple of scores like that, that's a huge valuableness as well.
Oh, it is absolutely. And like they're both himself and Barry Dan, you know, they're helping out the defence, but they're attacking as well, and they have to be marked too. Not alone are they marking their own men. I mean, Enda Smith and Tiger Rourke. The two midfielders for us come, and Enda Smith is an all-star. We know how good he is. Tiger Rourke is a very good player, but they had no influence in the game yesterday. Yeah. In fairness, I think that our lads dominated up and down the field. They chipped in with the scores, but I think that it just goes to show like that. We'll say with Dermot O'Connor, 2 out of 3, they're your midfielders. So every game they get, I think it's trying to get that jersey, and you could see it. And I think Barry Dan, you know, possibly unlucky last year, to be fair, but he's very consistent, very honest, great work rate. 2 points.
Yeah, he can pick a point as well.
He can pick a point as well.
And he got a fantastic mark in the 34th minute as well,
And that's what I like about the midfield, and we've spoke about it. They were engaging the defence yesterday.
Yeah.
Going back to the Dublin game, Dublin never marked us. Like I said it here, that it was the second half that Joe kind of realised that, Jesus, there's no one marking me here, I can go through next. He kicked 1-1. But he handled a pile of ball yesterday in the first half as well. He was getting stuck in it. He wasn't just sitting back. He was hitting the gaps. He was drawing the defender, and he was passing the ball, and he was creating options for the Kerry forwards, which we need. We need Kerry players engaging the defence, because we can't be looking at David and Shawnee the whole time. We need other fellas to step up. Yeah. And midfield yesterday was at 1-3. 3 from midfield yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Speak to us about a man who was a big game from yesterday, Darragh Roach, inside full forward. He's been on the cusp, he's been kind of in and out and around. He needed a big game yesterday, maybe didn't feature heavily on the scoreboard, but he provided the most assists in 3 out of the whole amount of scores. So, I mean, his quick hands, he won that ball. And I presume, like, as Jack said afterwards, the inside line is the line that gets the most marking. So at times, maybe it is the half-forward line that have to crop up with the scores. How did he work yesterday, Darragh Roach?
I thought Darragh was... Do you know what he was? He was a focal point in there. Usually when we have David at 14, our two corner forwards are kind of coming out the field in there. But we had Darragh in there, and David was kind of in around him then as well. So we had a kind of a good stationary full forward line. We had a target. And plus, it was keeping the Roscommon defenders honest. Because if David was coming out, there was two of them watching David, which we were leaving Darragh inside alone. Because he never came outside the 21-yard line, and I think that's something we'll come in towards championship. We will need.
I presume someone. That's by design, does it?
That's by design. Yep. Yeah,
tall, staying.
That's because he's a target, and I know it's probably hard to see it in the radio or maybe in television at times. But the runs he was making, even though he mightn't have got the ball, but he was pulling maybe 2-3 defenders at times with the runs because they were making the great runs, which was creating space for other players. Mm. Like. With the start of the league, when David was in there alone, you had 3 players sitting on top of him, and there was nothing. But you need bodies in there that you can have a target. And I thought Darragh was a good target. I know he came off in the second half, and Paul came on and he kicked his 2 points then after that. But that's what we need. We need fillers that will work their socks off, if it's 40 minutes or 30 minutes or 50 minutes, and then replacements coming on.
Mm-hmm. But it's not a surprise that Darragh playing well, because he's been the standout player in the County Championship.
You know,
he's a kicker, and possibly
he was
the last year.
County Championship player of the year last year.
A fine player, and he definitely has.
And he's a hard man to mark because he's low to the ground when he gets the ball. You know, he has one thing in his head. He wants to go to goals, which is something that I think we need someone like that inside with David.
I suppose he needs an extra couple of games. So obviously, fingers crossed, he'll be there for the Galway game. Darren Moynihan moving slightly out to probably a role that he's probably more fond of at 12.
John. Yeah, look, Darren Moynihan, I suppose from his minor days, his work rate. Mm-hmm. You know, he was compared to likes of Brian Doher at minor level, linking between defence and attack, popping up with an odd score here and there now. But his work rate is going to be very important because we need that. You know, our half forward line have a huge part to play, you know, because they'll have to link, they'll have to be back working extremely hard, cutting down the space behind, but then they'll have to be available to link with the attack. And Darragh's he's going well, he's had a great league campaign, mm-hmm. in fairness to him.
And he's chipping up an extra point here and there as well. So, I mean, like he could always score, I suppose, in the last number of years, the scoring side of it has reduced, maybe there's a lot more kind of work rate and production, the whole lot. But he needs to pop up with the odd score every now and again.
He does, and I think, look, you mentioned there about Jack, the inside line are going to be marked very tightly. Of course, we have David in there, but if we can get our half-hub line on midfield kicking the few scores, you look at the good teams, the Dubs, like, you know, when Tyrone were going well, when we were winning All Irelands, you have a good mix of scorers. You're not depending on one or two, and I think Liam has said it several times. When it comes to the championship against the good teams, against the top teams, there's 5 or 6 teams there, look. The Dublins, the Derrys, the Donegals, the Armaghs, the Mayos. When you meet them in championship football, you'll have to have a good spread of scores because they have players to mark our marquee players. Yeah. And then where are we going to get the scores from? You'll do it against Roscommon and the rest of these teams, but that's the level we have to get to.
Mm-hmm. The Cliffords we talk about every week, I mean, if they don't bring home 15 points, they've had a bad game. We possibly didn't see as much as we normally would see of them. Were they kind of maybe working away in second and third gear and relaxing as well?
It looked like that, like Paddy didn't kick his score.
They were engaged, obviously, in the game, but they didn't need to do a whole pile more.
No, I think it was the 22nd minute was it when Paddy kicked his first point in the second half. But he played a pile of ball and he did the usual, you know, a lot of hard grab. But like that, he never really had to step up to when Roscommon never really put that great amount of pressure, even though I'd look at one stage in the second half with 3 points to go that there was a bit of momentum, the crowd got behind them. But we went down the field and we kicked another point and another point and we went to 5 points up then again. But David was inside, I suppose. The Pilty is going to be the big talking point.
We'll talk about that in a second because there's a few comments coming in about that. We'll talk about Jason Foley as well. Let's go back to the half back length. I want to go through the kind of the player review. news. A big day again, John, for Sean O'Brien. I mean, he seems to have found himself in a position now in five. He's started two in a row. He looks kind of steady there. I mean, he's an out for Shane Ryan's kickouts, and he's not afraid to have a go at a shot either.
No, he's fitting in well. Do you know, he's learning. He's kicked a great score again, similar to Tyrone.
And that's very interesting, use the word learning, because he is learning, but the way the championship comes along, you don't get time to learn on the job. You get thrown in and you either survive or you don't survive.
That's why the league for new players is very important, to bed him in. He has done well. He's definitely an option for the championship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because like we've often said before, we need to get a couple of defenders in particular. I think we're okay up front numbers wise, but defensively, you know, you need somebody coming in. His physique, as you say, he's an option for the kickouts. He's an athlete. When he starts running, when he starts going with the ball, he's difficult to stop. And, you know, down the road, I think he'll definitely have a part to play, and it's great to see him going well. He has the confidence. You know, after the first game or two, you know, you could have had questions. He's recovered very, very well, and maybe wing back is his spot.
Mm-hmm. Two Norman on the team as well yesterday, Liam. Talk about Tadhg Morley. I haven't seen Tadhg Morley attack as much or go forward as much, and very comfortable on the ball yesterday as well.
Yeah, Tadhg is very comfortable, but he was an attacking option because his men kind of sat back in front of the Cliffords, and that's what we need. To know, if you're a free Kerry player, you need to be engaging the opposition, and Tadhg is well able to do that. But our halfback line, Shaw, I agree with John. Sean O'Brien seems to be an option there. Like, when you look at, I suppose,
and
the positives, I suppose, out of the league so far would be like the Sean O'Brien, the Killian Burke,
yep.
You know, these two guys, you know, they're young fellas, Joe O'Connor, obviously, three. Mm-hmm. You know, these are guys that will offer you something towards the latter end of the year. And I think it's important that we did unearth two or three players.
Mm-hmm.
But and the league is a great place to pop. Polish up players, like I said, it's hot and heavy now at the moment with a lot of games, but fellas will be learning.
Yeah, and let's go back to a guy who's improving and improving and improving all the time, Gavin White.
Oh yeah, Gavin seems to be back to his best again.
He really does. I mean, obviously, look, I suppose after the All-Ireland last year, took a blow out of confidence in the whole.
And then he was injured then as well, I suppose. And
come back, but he now is getting to the Gavin White that people would have regarded as the real deal maybe a year ago, 2 years ago.
Yeah, the spring is back in the legs again. You know, with the last couple of weeks, we were kind of looking at him, and he found it hard to get away from players. But I suppose, to give the man the benefit of the doubt, he's coming back from injury, but he seems to be back to his best now in the last two games, the Tyrone game. You know, when he gets the ball now, when he goes past the player, he's actually getting them two or three steps ahead of a player, which he wasn't getting with earlier on in the league. And he's your main man to get the ball out of the defence up to the forward line as quick as you can. And you know, so he's going to be he's a big weapon for us. You know, we need Gavin playing well in the half back line, because he draws so much attention as well when he puts it on his foot.
Yeah, the two cornerbacks were never under any massive pressure, Graham Sullivan and Paul Murphy. Steady, but you know, influential on the game when they needed to be.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think Graham Sullivan has been one of our players of the league, fairness to him. So consistent, you know, doesn't put a foot wrong. Paul Murphy has come in against Tyrone again yesterday. You know, he nullified Dara Canavan against Tyrone.
Mm-hmm.
No mean feat, to be fair to him. Huge experience. He'll be fine.
Which is his experience that seems to be shining through now at this stage. I mean, he can get there on time. He seems to be able to cover. And like, he isn't 6'4", like, I mean, so he has to work a little bit harder.
His positional sense is excellent. And, you know, on the ball, he's very good. He rarely gives the ball away, to be
fair. That was a good full forward line by Roscommon yesterday. Yeah. Like, you're on talking Murta Smith and Craig. They were their main, and we kind of quietened them.
Yeah. And they withdrew Murta as well.
And they withdrew Murta, which is a big call. Big, like,
to be fair, our full back line has been going very well. Jason's been very solid as well, you know, and as we said, look, we hope that the injury isn't too serious, because he's a huge loss to that defence.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that after, because we have a lot of comments to come through there, particularly on the Jason Foley one, but one that's particularly cropping up there as well, the penalty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, it was a goal.
It was a goal, yeah. And I don't know why he caught, because he didn't blow the whistle until the ball was in the net. It was different if he blew the whistle before he struck it.
Like, there's no doubting Sean O'Shea was fouled on the line, but
you give the advantage.
The ball was in the net.
The ball was in the net, and you give the and attacking player should get the advantage.
Yeah. If that happened out the field and he was fouled off the ball and maybe held the quick hands that got the ball away,
it'd be advantage.
Like this is something that's cropping up, Liam. Referees, one club level is one thing, but inter-county level, these referees they're supposed to be the top referees in the country. Not good enough, to be fair. You know, if we had lost that, if it was a championship game, we lost it.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no reason why he should have given the penalty. Even in the hurling the weekend, Limerick and Galway, you know, a red card for the helmet, which was right, but there was two high challenges which should have been red cards, and they weren't. Tis the inconsistency is not good enough, and it's frustrating for players and for managers as well. And it's something definitely that will have to be looked at coming to championship.
We'll get to that, but the penalty was still missed, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It was one of those ones. If it went into,
it was a bit of an Irish jig job, wasn't it?
Went into the top corner, you would be raving about it. But look, it didn't.
And I had this conversation with Joe at halftime yesterday. I just can't understand. GAA goalkeepers are not like soccer goalkeepers. They don't practice diving.
No, they're not going to go.
I can't understand why we can't put the ball on the ground and roll it with power into the corners, because it's probably the weakest spot of a GAA goalkeeper is diving down to his right or left. But he didn't have to dive at all yesterday anyway, because it was gone up to the scoreboard.
Well, he came out and David was smiling afterwards. It was that kind of game, it was kind of a relaxed game. John Kennedy, back in your day, if some guy done that during Mika's time, taking a bit of a penalty, what happened?
There was quite a number of penalties lost in old time to World Best and missed, in fairness.
And big ones as well.
Some of the best players ever played the game. Yeah. It does happen, Donald.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the hardest kicks in the game.
It is, yeah.
Because the goalkeeper can be fairly big, and the goals is not like a soccer goal where it's a bit wider, all right. Yeah. It's a hard kick.
Yeah, it's a skill we'll all have to learn, of course, with all the games going to penalties. Listen, after the break, we'll catch up with Dan Kearney, and then we'll get on to talk about Jason Foley, and we'll look at Galway for next week.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, the Kerry ladies had a big win in Meath, and as a result of that, they're slowly edging close to a return to a Division 1 league final as well. And uniquely enough, of course, they are playing Galway in the last round of their league as well. Dan Kearney joins me on the line. Dan, it's amazing the league at the start, because obviously with the two byes, it was like, we'll survive. But we're getting close to the stage now, Dan, where, you know, we can see the tunnel, and the other end of the tunnel, a trip to Croke Park. And this Meath victory goes an awful long way towards that.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose, look, the lads did come out with it at the start. They said, look, we're using the league as for experimentation. Our focus is going to be on the championship later on the year. We're going to focus our training on that. And they have done that, but I suppose it shows the quality that they have now, that they've found themselves in this stage, you know, at this stage even. To go up to Meath and beat them so handily, beat them by 13 points. It was a phenomenal win by Kerry. And, I think they'll be looking at it in kind of a different context now. You're going into the last game, you come out with a win, and you're back in Croke Park again. And, you can't be in Croke Park enough times, really, I feel. And, absolutely, they're on an upward trajectory. And they were very, very impressive yesterday, Donald. I thought they played some fantastic football after a slow enough start. But once we got into the second quarter, they started motoring, and they literally blew Meath away on their home patch.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're looking at the score. 115 is massive shooting, a massive scoring, particularly if you look at all the latest results through the week. Louise Murray Hertig back to a starting berth. Obviously, she was always going to go in there once she was good and ready. 8 points, 2 frees, hugely influential. But also Emma Dineen with 1-2 and Hannah O'Donoghue with 3 points. That full forward line, they scored 113.
Yeah, it's motoring well, isn't it? They're all very clever to treat them. They seem to have a very, very good understanding, and they're all really good footballers. And of course, look, you said it, Louise, we could be harking on Louise all the time, but she deserves every bit of praise she gets, because, she was back in there again yesterday. She had the ball over the bar after 16 seconds at the start of the game, and straight away then she was organising the defence for the kick-out. They were going zone, they were pressing up, because Kerry had a very, very strong wing behind them. But they're a lovely full forward line. Their movement is absolutely excellent. I was watching their movement yesterday, and, they have, like I said, they have a basic understanding, the three of them, one of them is making space, the other one is players coming out to get the ball, leaving the other two inside, and they kind of rotate that a small bit, like, and they're playing really, really well, the three of them. And of course, having the experience of Louise inside, and like I said, she's calling the shot, she's telling them where to go, and like that. Emma Dineen has been a revelation since she came back this year. You know, took her goal very, very well. Might have had another one, and you know, she shows very, very well. So she's giving a kind of another dynamic there in the full forward line. So yeah, very, very pleasing the full forward line the last day with that kind of scoring.
Yeah. Absolutely. Daniel O'Leary came on, of course, and shots kind of saved there as well. So there was a number of goal chances maybe left behind as well. So if the lads were looking at something, they might be looking at this.
Yeah, I suppose. You alluded to it there. Like there was two goal chances. I suppose Emma's one was probably the easiest. I suppose, like, it was a fantastic move, went through the hands. Kelly Cronin, who had an outstanding game. Kieran McCarthy and Lorraine were involved in passing inside into Emma, and unfortunately, with the goal of her mercy, it was nearly easier to score it. She put it wide. So that, I mean, Kerry were up a point at that stage, you know, and, you know, in a tighter game, you're going to rue those misses. Danielle right at the start of the second half, she came on at half-time, played really, really well overall, but I suppose, was it a very good save by Monica McGurk, or did she hit it straight at her? Monica saved it with her legs anyway, but there were two good goal chances, and I suppose if you think they missed four goal chances in the previous game, like, you know, those chances will have to be taken. But I suppose on the other side of it, you'll say to yourself, look, we're creating the chances, and particularly against a Meath defence yesterday that was pretty packed, did a lot of bodies back there. So, look, they'll continue to work on that, I'm sure, and hopefully it'll come right. But in a big game, you really have to take those chances, and I suppose they have two big games coming up now with Galway, and hopefully a final after that. So if the goal chances present themselves, they really will have to take them from now on, like, you know, and particularly ones which are more or less tappings, like Emma's was really, like, you know, she really should have stuck it. So it's something, again, to work on.
Yeah, absolutely. Something that doesn't seem to be needed, a whole pile of work, is the defence. 1 point conceded from play yesterday against a team that won the All-Ireland 2 years ago. And I know it might be a little bit watered down to the strength of what they had. But there was still an awful lot of huge recognised names on that Meath team as well. But 1 point from play conceded, I mean, that's some victory for the defence, isn't it?
Absolutely, and I mean, you look at the three girls up front that you mentioned, and they get the plaudits because they're on the scoring, but the defence was absolutely outstanding. I mean, Emma Duggan, I've never seen her have a quieter game, and between Eilish Lynch and Ciara Murphy, they totally, you know, took her out of the game completely. Katie Cronin was outstanding at centre-half back. Ashley O'Connell was driving forward. She's strong, she's fit, she's a serious player now on this Kerry team. And you must remember that defence was without Deirdre Carney, Ciara O'Brien. Caught Lynch only came on as a sub. You know, the other two girls are carrying, I think, slight hamstring knocks. Like, so it's really looking good in the defence. And I suppose they're covering and their know-how. And I suppose that's come from the experience of playing together for the last couple of years. And they have a system in place. And even their scramble defences, as they call it in rugby, like they were getting across. They were getting that last-ditch ball. You know, they were getting on the hand on the ball when they looked in danger, and that work rate really was the cornerstone of the Kerry performance. And another thing I liked as well, Donal, and I suppose it's kind of similar to the defence because they were going back and helping out. You had a midfield of Anna Galvin and Mary O'Connell, and you had Lorraine Scanlon playing wing forward and kind of coming into the middle. And I thought that was a lovely, there was a lovely dynamic between them. You know, they were covering the centre and making it very, very difficult for me to attack. After the first quarter, Meath did trouble them in the first quarter. Their running game had Kerry in a small bit of trouble. Once they settled down, though, Meath got nothing after that.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned Daniel O'Leary. We mentioned Emma Duggan. I suppose, ironically, or maybe so, the HSE championships were on over the weekend. Of course, a fantastic win for MTU Kerry. Heading up to the Giles heading to the O'Connor from the Giles, even. That's going to be massive for Kerry Ladies football.
absolutely massive, you know, heading into O'Connor Cup, and deservedly so. I mean, that was a really good team that won the Giles Cup the last day, and of course, Danielle ended up on the team with the championship out of it, like, you know, and that show you how well she played all through, as well as her two goals in the final against Maynooth. So, I mean, it's given a prestige, I suppose, for girls. They'll say, yeah, if I go to MTU Kerry, I can play O'Connor Cup. I don't have to go to UCC or UL or wherever, you know, if they're ambitious and that side of things and playing top class football. So, yeah, it is massive, and it's going to be very exciting for MTU Kerry to be playing in the O'Connor Cup next year. And, like, I suppose, if you look at it from a Kerry point of view, when you look at UCC, Mary O'Connell was in the middle of the field for them, and, you know, very unlucky to lose out the final to DCU after extra time. But I thought Mary had an outstanding game for UCC, and she won far off player of the match, in my opinion. But unfortunately, she finished up on the wrong side. But that was great to see. It was great to see Mary mixing it at that level. And, you know, unfortunately, didn't come out with her medal. But that's the way it goes, I suppose, that sport. I suppose UCC could have had it won in normal time, but they really left it after them. But it was great to see the Kerry players playing so well.
Mm-hmm. A big congratulations to Mairead Bennett, of course, of Spa. She captained MTU Cork, believe it or not, to win the Lynch.
A lot of underage with Kerry did Mairead, and a really good fullback type cornerback player, like, you know, and delighted to see her captaining them, because she has serious leadership qualities as well. So she has.
Mm-hmm. Finally, then we'll wrap up. The maths are quite simple. Kerry must beat Galway next week, and it's a game next week that I've seen posted on social media by the Kerry ladies, that it's in Fitzgerald Stadium as well.
Yeah, it's on after the Kerry men's game. I think the Kerry men's game is on 2:15, and the Kerry ladies then is on 4:15. So a huge day, like, for the Kerry ladies. They can cement their place in the National League final, and you know, obviously there's going to be a good crowd there for the men's game, and please God, people will stay on and watch the ladies as well, because, you know, they're a very, very good side to watch. I've said it lots of times before. They play a very, very nice brand of football. They sacrifice every bit as much as the men do, and they deserve to have a crowd cheering them on. And hopefully people will stay on, and they'll be well worth giving a good shout. They're wearing a Kerry jersey. They're some of the greatest players that have ever worn a Kerry jersey playing for this Kerry team presently, and hopefully the crowd will show their appreciation and stay on and watch them make a National League final for the second year in a row.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully, and we'll be all from Croke Park freezing above with the seagulls as well, then, Kearney, maybe in a couple of weeks' time watching down at home, which is a fantastic sight. Then, Kearney, thanks very much. Dan has to rush off to, believe it or not, training for 7 o'clock, so we won't hold you any longer. That's kind of fantastic news as well, Liam, that last year we were kind of maybe seeing and then seeing that, you know, Kerry Lays were in Division 1 and we won it and the whole lot, but now we're cementing that place. We're consistently getting back where our performances are good, and cantering through the league. I know people will say, look, they got the draw with Mayo. Mayo, of course, produced a stirring performance yesterday against Armagh, nearly took them out of it as well, but overall, I mean, things on the up, people must be happy.
Very much so, and like Dan said, the management sat down at the start of the year and said they were going to use the league as a building tool, and, you know, and it just shows the caliber of player that's coming through at ladies football, when they're going to be hopefully contesting another league final and very close to it, and still experimenting with players as they go. So all things good, and I would agree with Dan. I hope the Kerry supporters, look, I know it's 3:45 game, but we're going to be in there anyway. So, and these are, and I've been at a lot of their games for the last couple of years as well, it's a very entertaining game of football, the ladies football, and some of these players are, and I would agree, probably some of the best Kerry ladies footballers that we probably ever see. And I know, and that's a big statement, because we had a lot of very, very good ladies footballers. So some of these, it'd be well worth staying for the extra hour and a half to watch these, and I think they deserve our support as well, because look, they're a green and gold jersey as well, and they deserve massive backing.
Fair play. Let's get back to the real stuff again. All the people giving out. We wish the Kerry ladies, of course, the very best, playing Galway next Sunday as well. A win, and they are in a league final. Most likely against Armagh, but Dublin are there as well. Now, hi lads, there's about 5 or 6 teams that can win All-Ireland. Is this not a bad reflection on football? Or maybe this is the way it always was, from Pod.
I think the way it always was.
Sure. I presume when John Kennedy was picking up free All-Irelands, there was probably less than five or six teams that could win the All-Ireland, was there?
I think it's the same, Don, being honest with you. Like, you had the Dubs that time and maybe Monaghan or Down, you know, and Cork were probably the second best team in the country at the time, but the fact of the format, you beat them in almost a final, they were gone, you know. But, like, it's that's why the league is so competitive, is that, you know, the teams are at their own level. And all the divisions are good, because, you know, there's very little between a lot of the teams. But, you know, we've said it before, look at Munster, like, you know, Limerick, Tipperary, Waterford, they're in a poor state at the moment. Clare have booked the trend with Mark Fitzgerald, in fairness, you know.
Doing a great job with them, yeah.
You're doing a great job. They're heading to Newry, I think, next week, and if they win, they're promoted. But Cork have consolidated their position in Division 2. But look, I've said it earlier on, that tonight, there's five or six teams, and Sam McGuire will come from one of those teams. Yeah. And it's to be at the level that those teams are at to win the championship. That's what's required.
Right, Liam named the six teams that can win it this year.
Well, obviously, in Munster, we've Kerry.
Okay, five more.
Leinster, you've Volley Dublin. Four. Realistically, you've Volley Dublin.
Okay, four more.
I'd be picking three out of the North that I would not like to play. Derry would be one.
Yep.
Armagh would be two. And I wouldn't like to be facing into Donegal in a quarter final, because I do think they will be kind of up for it this year. And then you're looking at Mayo.
No Galway.
No, I think Galway have. They haven't kicked on since the All Ireland final that we beat in 22. And no, they've. And look, they're a proud football county as well, and you know, they're all great county footballing. They go out and they play football. We always, but no, they have never kicked on since 22.
I agree with you, Liam. Yeah. But I think the Galway's injuries are horrendous this year. Do you know? I was just looking. Shane Welsh, Damien Comer, Matthew Tierney, Rob Finnerty, Sean Kelly, Killian McDade.
That's the spine of your team.
You're not going to win a championship without those. You need all of them to be going well, to be competitive.
But still, at the same time, on a given day, I don't think they could win Sam McGuire, but they could rattle a big team though.
Yeah, they could knock a big team out of it.
They could knock a big team out of it, yeah.
Right, lads, I hope the nasty cynical foul that injured Jason Foley will be investigated and the offending player will get disciplined for his nasty actions. Obviously, that comes in the wake, I suppose. It happened in the game, the footage is there. I mean, Roscommon faced an anxious wait, according to the Irish Examiner, to learn if Kyle Hennigan is handed a retrospective suspension for an incident leading to Jason Foley's injury enforced departure from Sunday's Division 1 game in Dr. Hyde Park. Now, before we go any further, he didn't leave the field due to that injury. He left the field we can't link him to be fair. you're not scientists and you're not doctors,
but we're not blowing the courthouse either.
Exactly, that's where we could be very shortly. We won't be going there in a hurry. But the incident itself, and just isolate it and don't link it to an injury, it was fairly cynical and fairly nasty.
Well, not nice. Yeah, not nice to see it. To see it after that. We didn't see it at the time, obviously, but when you saw it in the video and the stuff that's gone around, it's not a nice thing to do to anyone.
Yeah.
Like, regardless what team, there's no place in the GA or in any sport for that. You know, hard hitting and stuff is fine, but cynical and cynicism and dangerous tackling, that's not good.
Yeah. It was kind of cowardly. I mean, he was on the ground. He wasn't facing him. He could have put his foot anywhere, but he decided he was going to lend.
That's not nice. You know, whether there's intent or not was done, and you know.
And I do think, like John said it about the referees, we've said it here a couple of times about the TMO. There's cameras at every match.
Mm-hmm.
These things can be looked at instantly.
But would a TMO in a hurry yesterday?
He would have, because any
would even be looking for it.
But that's the TMO's job. Like, if a player's down injured, there's a reason why the player's injured, so you just review that maybe 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's the same with the penalty. Like, why couldn't we go upstairs? No, you take 20 seconds. I know people say it slows down the game, but at the moment the game can't get any slower because the ball's over from back to field. It can't get any slower. If anything, it might add to the whole thing. So I do think, like, we have cameras everywhere. We're falling over them when we go to county grounds, that this thing could be brought in, because inter-county football now is a big business.
Yeah.
It's a big business. And you have Kerry who, and this could, look, this is a league, I know, but this can happen in championship as well. You need to get the call right. And Robbie, 99 times out of 100, I know VAR, they'll be all kicking me, but you get the call right at the end of the day. And these things can be looked at.
Yeah, but I think, Liam, we've been to several games, and we've discussed this. A linesman, he's obsessed now with keeping the manager where he should be, keeping the subs off the line, a lad going in with a drop of water, he can't go in, but there's serious incidents in front of their eyes and they don't see them.
It's all left to the referee.
It's left to the ref.
It's all left
to the
referee.
I think it's crazy stuff. And like you said, a game shouldn't be decided, or shouldn't be won or lost, with a bad mistake by officialdom.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be. There's too much going in, too much money being spent, and
it's all there.
It's all
the
there.
Cameras are all there, so it's not a big deal to get it sorted.
Well, that incident is going to be investigated anyway, I'd imagine, by the CCC. They'll have plenty of, I suppose, footage and television cameras and everything. Mossy, thanks for dropping a line to us and his guest when you talked about how slow the game was. Mossy is along the lines. That was desperate stuff yesterday, lads. You couldn't call it football. All defensive lateral passing in the first half. The second half wasn't a whole lot better. It's terrible to see Gaelic football going down this road in Kerry. Well, I suppose it's not necessarily in Kerry.
That's the game of football, though. Yeah. And that's what was surprising. I thought Ross Common, that they needed the points, they'd come out and they'd have a right go at us, and they had the breeze in the first half, and next thing we looked out the field and they had 14 men out behind the ball, and not only the 14 men behind the ball, it was the 20th minute before they actually laid a finger on us. You know, it was before the first turnover, they were just sitting back. We kicked 6 from 6. And they still didn't come out, and it just and you can't blame Kerry for that, because Kerry can't be kicking the ball into 14 men.
No.
So they were going to hold on to it, and we picked them off. But yeah, but that's unfortunately the way football has gone.
But that's the way it is gone.
It
has to be patience, because if you rush, you turn over, you lose the ball a whole lot. I won't ask you this, John Kennedy, I'll leave you off on this one. Have we any good umpire around the table? Hi, lads. Can we have a word on umpires, please? Who picks umpires? Is it a referee's choice, or are they booked by HQ? It seems to be a lot of older men or family members of the referees. Can you ask the panel? Obviously going to be Liam in this instance. Should there be some form of formal training for umpires? I presume there is a formal training.
I think the county level, they do bring in the umpires and stuff like that. But yeah, it's the referees' family or friends, because the county league matches, they go to all the county league matches, they get a bit of a dinner for it. And, you know, it's something that, yeah, maybe Croke Park should be looking at. I always kind of said that maybe Kerry should have a refereeing team, which means you have a referee and you have maybe three or four of our top referees then with him, and they travel the country. It's like the NBA. There's NBA basketball teams that they have their basketball team, and soccer the whole lot, instead of bringing your auntie or not your auntie, your uncle or cousin or something like that. But to be fair, like I do a lot of umpiring for a couple of referees, and it's impossible to get people to go out on a Sunday. And
isn't that the reality of it? Yeah. I mean, it's a thankless enough task to be a referee. That instance, you go to a match, you need two linesmen. Obviously, we're talking about maybe club now rather than intercounty. Chances are you won't have them unless it's a championship game, and you're either stuck with bringing your next door neighbour or your brother, who you trust probably more often than the guy that you might just pick up by accident on the day, because you will have plenty of volunteers that will want to go down behind the posts and want to do umpiring. So obviously you have to bring at least two.
Yeah, and usually the referees might have 7 or 8 fellas who they can call on, because look, it's very unfair that you have me going to a Ballymac game, say in Ballymac, or a county league game in Ballymac.
And you on your phone, maybe?
And the next thing, the referee gets a game, a Munster final, and he won't bring me, and he brings someone else. You know, so they bring their team. So, no, I do, that's...
The other side of that, no, people will start giving up about nepotism, the whole lot. The guy you bring, you'll trust more, will you?
They trust more, yeah. And all these referees, the four guys they have, they're not guys they picked out of the sky and that just showed up for the game for an inter-county match. They've been umpiring for maybe 2 or 3 years with them. Maybe 20 or 30 games a year before they go to this. You know, so it's, but yeah, the umpire has only a certain role in as well, which is only scores. Or if I'm umpiring, next thing John hits the corner back, a clatter, I can call that. But if the ball's picked up off the ground, or if there's a push or anything like that, that's not my call.
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't do anything about it. No, so it's
despite where we're in the stand. Things.
Just by, exactly.
Behind the wire, maybe.
Yeah.
Come here, we'll take a quick break, and afterwards we'll talk about the Galway game.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, we all sort of agreed ahead of last week's Hogan Cup final that was going to be a big ask for Mercy Mohawk. I mean, they certainly had a fantastic season. First Kerry Cup win, first Munster win, first All-Ireland final as well. But they came undone, Liam, by probably a superior team, to be fair.
They were. Look, they put up a good fight, we could say, for 40, 45 minutes, but at the end, I kind of broke them down. A few mistakes, which you do expect, I suppose, at that level, you know, and Oma punished them. But no, the Tyrone crowd, they were that little bit better all through, really. You know, they were a lot tenacious. They kind of had a diamond there. Their number six, Callum Daly, two very good midfielders, Donaghy and Donnelly. Donnelly kick was five or six points. And then up front, they had McCulloch there and Dillon in the full forward line.
Rory McCulloch was
No, and I think these are guys we're going to see with under 20s with Tyrone. We'll keep an eye out for them because they are really standout players. Whereas on the other side, Mount Hawk, they never seemed to got going. You know, the legs looked heavy. When they got opportunities maybe to attack, we just didn't have the leg to go, the legs to go past them. You know, but I think they'll be disappointed. You know, things never went the way they were hoping, I'd say.
Yeah, and yet it was back to back wins for Oma. So I mean, they obviously had that in their legs.
They had that experience.
Yeah. They knew how to win, obviously. And even in the first half, when I suppose Mount Hawk were, I suppose, on top at different stages in the first half, to be fair, even though they were 7-6 down at half time, Oma never panicked.
They never panicked. And that's experience as well, I suppose, yeah. And like someone was telling us above in the press box that it'd be like Tralee having only one school. Mm-hmm. No, yeah. So you can imagine if the Green and the Mount Hawk were together, what kind of a football team you'd have there? Mm-hmm. No, so but Oma have, that's why they had so many good players in the last couple of years. No, so but it was no mean feat. Look at Mount Hawk; they have gathered momentum in the last couple of years. They won it this year, and they got to an All-Ireland final. So they need to build on that. And there's a lot of players there. I think we'll be keeping an eye out for under 20s, obviously with the minors over the year. So we'll be hoping these fellas can push on from that.
Yeah, absolutely, John. I had them in here after they won the Hogan Cup, and the one thing that struck me was that they were very mature kids. Yeah. I mean, kids is probably the wrong word, totally. Yeah. From they knew about their football, they trained exceptionally hard, they kind of lived and died by it, and the school football actually meant something to them because they're all from Ardfert and they're from, yeah, Mitchell's, and they're from all around Tralee and Gael and the whole lot. School football is unique in that instance, John, for that moment in time. It brings together players from different clubs who are probably battering each other, probably even doing it tonight, maybe in a league final game or something. But for that moment in time, it brings that unity together. And Aidan O'Shea managed that, and Luke Mulligan as well. So it's difficult to manage, but it's great to see it. And I remember their journey. I mean, their journey a couple of years ago, they weren't even in this.
Right,
they were playing B and they were playing C, and, you know, they were nearly the people who wanted to get in the draw, you know, you were saying. So the journey is magnificent for them.
Oh, fantastic achievement, you know, and it will be tarnished for a bit by the result the last day. But look, when they look back in the year, fantastic. You know, school with no real tradition behind it. Yeah. But, you know, getting to Carnivory and getting to Croke Park, and, you know, a few things didn't go their way. Like Liam said, particularly the two goals, they were on board the better team, there's no doubt about it. But like these guys, Aidan and his management team, great credit due to them, and some great footballers there. And you know, I think that what it means to the school and to the people, it came true. Like when they won the Carnivory, bringing up Buddy O'Grady when Orrin Ferris was accepting the cup, I think that's what football is about.
That's a standout moment.
Yeah. You know, when the year is over, we look back. Yeah. That is one of the big things. This man has he's given his life to the GA, Buddy O'Grady, and to be part of a huge victory of history. Mm-hmm. It was brilliant. Yeah. The family should be disappointed. Yeah. It was a great day in Croke Park. You know, the winners take all, of course, but a lot of satisfaction to be got from it. Yeah. And it's a long journey. And they're on that, and hopefully they'll have many more days there.
And I would agree with Don, like, school football is special. It is special because these are guys that, I suppose, you mess with for, as I call it, for 5 or 6 years. And you can go out and play football and have a bit of fun. And next, all of a sudden, you realise, Jesus, we're not bad. And you get the finals and you win finals. And I suppose going out for after winning a game, then you go for your burgers and chips and you're having a bit of crack and some fellas robbing some fellas' bag and all this kind of stuff.
What school did you go to? Robbing fellas' bags?
That's the fun we have with these, because you're coming from different clubs,
yeah,
and it's a great way of kind of coming together. And no, the school football is special.
Before we wrap up this evening, something special is birthdays. Obviously, I missed this birthday last week. I wouldn't be reflecting to Gail Coleman, a big Happy 10th birthday to Gerry Galvin out there in Kilcommon. Half a rat more man, of course, as an extension to that. The staff of the Presentation Monastery School in Killarney want to wish Mike Reardon his 40th birthday. 4-0. We've outed the rat more man now, but I'm going to out him even further now because he was a Kerry minor for you.
He was, that's right.
Do you really know that now? Or is that just
a surprise?
Or that's the right. Does it shock you to think that a guy who is now celebrating his 40th birthday was a Kerry minor future?
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's frightening, Donal. And, you know, I suppose that's part of the GA as well. I was involved going back a long time with Charlie Nettigan as a selector and the great Derry Crowley and, you know, Mikey Sheehy and the late Junior Murphy, great people. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the journey we've all been on, but then you meet the players afterwards, they've changed and we have changed, but that bond is still there, you know. And a lot of them are involved in school teams now, yes, and involved in club teams. It's great to see. But
it's a cycle, really.
Mike was a great forward, a great player, and you know
he scored 2-3 in a minor game one night against some crowd from Clare, did he?
He did.
Yeah.
We wish him happy birthday. As well.
We probably took him off after. Come here. 30 seconds, we have to mention St. Pat's and Tralee CBS, both in the Froome Cup. Obviously, Tralee CBS, an old school at this level. St. Pat's isn't one.
No, it's great again, and it's like the journey.
You go for burgers.
That's the place where we had our bags taken and boots taken and everything. But yeah, look, St. Pat's are on an upper curve. Started a couple of years ago, winning the Russell Cup, and there's great work being done out there by the whole school, by Pam McCarthy and the whole lot of them. And long may it continue. And the Froome Cup is just another step towards of the curve going up.
Absolutely, sure. It's the pathway to where Mount Hawker are going in.
The only disappointing, I think, is it over in Bantier.
Absolutely, have to go to Cork to win it, huh?
Yeah, no, so two Kerry teams have to go to Cork to play a game of football. It's a pity.
Wonder will win it, that's all that matters. Listen, guys, thanks very much. Up after break, we talk County League.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now the Kerry senior hurlers suffered another defeat in the National Hurling League this weekend to Laois, as the Midlanders proved just a bit too strong for them in a 4-20-1-19 win on Saturday. Joining us on the line are Richard and James, as usual, looking back on the game. Richard, I suppose when you look at the scoreline, it is what it is. A slow start, a bit of a fight back maybe midway through, but Laois too good in the end.
Yeah, exactly. I think that, you know, Laois struggled a lot of wides in the first half. We must be mindful of that. But the boys stuck to their task. And I think in the second half, they opened up a bit. You know, I think as Mick said on commentary, do you know what I mean? They sort of, were a bit more, the play was a bit more free, I suppose. And it was, you know, the throw off the shackles, I suppose you'd say. And, you know, I suppose we've been saying all throughout the campaign, I suppose it's similar to the argument we had with footballers, you know, get the ball into Clifford. I think the last day we get the ball into the forwards, and when we started doing that, I thought that we got a lot more out of it because, you know, getting the ball into the likes of Dan Goggin and Mossy and Michael inside. I think it's vital that we get quick ball in. So when we did that, and as I say, when we threw off the shackles in the second half, we got more out of it. And, you know, 119 is good scoring. But as you said, Laois are a step above us and proved that on Saturday.
Absolutely. James, you were looking for more scores. 119 is a decent score against a good side.
It is, it is. It's a very respectable score. It was a dangling at 7 from place. That's good tipping. I think going forward, we'll have to really, they're all three boys. Like, you're talking about Dan Goggin, Massey and Michael Lean. I think they're going to have to be our go-to men in the forward line. Hopefully, maybe even get a few more lads on the score sheet as well. Like, but that's, to win any hurling match, 119 is a base, really. It's a start. You're going to have to score that. And looking at now, as we head into Joe McDonough, you're going to be against two Division 1 B teams in Westmeath and Offaly. It's going to be tougher again to get the scores, but you want to be tipping around that, Donal. And Joe, it's clear the last two games have seen a little bit better. There's a bit more stability about the team. They're a bit more shape about them. They look more of a threat, in fairness to them. So maybe they're coming just nicely for Joe McDonough. But we have a tough one first away to Westmeath. That's going to be very tough.
Mm-hmm. Some of the performances we've been looking at over the course, I mean, we mentioned Massey, we've mentioned Finan McAsee a couple of times. Den Goggin yesterday, James, I mean, he certainly stood out of the shadow yesterday and performed well Saturday even.
His form's been good all year, John. He's been one of our go-to men, and really, he didn't take it as just a normal kind of run-of-the-mill leading through cornerback. He's still Leafs cornerback, and he's going to be one of the top. He's going to be on their team for the rest of the year, Dan gave him the run around. They even had to swap him. They swapped their cornerback. So, but Dan is, Dan's a serious, they swapped his marker a few times. He got 7 points. They couldn't hold him. And even they alluded afterwards, they were kind of just saying about this lad, who's this lad? They hadn't seen him before. They had heard about Shane Conway and that is like this, but Dan Goggin really put his stamp on it yesterday now. And look, he's not injured last year, maybe the year before, coming to him. He's come back to where he should be now. He's always one of a really good forward, and Kerry Michelle tell you this from watching club games and everything. You knock him out as one of the legends. We better watch him in every game you play. But he's really transferring that form now to the county scene, and really becoming top class into county forward.
Mm-hmm. Richard, we were down 3-12-8 points at half time. I mean, I suppose a lot of teams probably could have got back on the bus and maybe headed away home, but they didn't carry in fairness. They stuck to their task, and they got back to within 5 at one stage towards the end. That's the bit that you're talking about, that they threw the shackles off. Particularly, we'd say McAsee with the free. I mean, Jesus, most people would tap it on the bar, but he went for goal.
Yeah, but I suppose he has a good puck, all right. I got a cup there for his ability to puck the ball. he has a fair belt of a ball, all right. Yeah, but I think as I said, throwing off the shackles was important, because I think I felt as well. I was up the game against Kildare, and I felt that. We maybe were a bit slow in our build-up, and as maybe Ambrose will say, we were a bit tippy-tappy, do you know what I mean? As I said earlier, when you have good forwards, as James said there, you have good forwards inside, and as I said, to use the analogy with the football, do you know what I mean? People are saying, get the ball into Clifford. I mean, the last year the thing was, get the ball into Goggin, and also to Mossy and Mike as well, but especially into Goggin. But so sometimes our build-up seems to be a bit slow, and we seem to be doing a lot of passing, before we hit the 40, and that's a bit frustrating, I suppose. But I think when they, as I said, threw off the shackles on Saturday and got the ball in, we got a good return for that. So going forward, as I said at the beginning of the year, this was always going to be tough. We're down 10 players from last year, and Stephen tells us that there are 11 players to come back from injury. So it was always going to be tough, having lost so many players. But, the last two games have been positive enough, and, as GM says, it's going to be tough now against 2-1-B teams in Westmeath and Offaly, especially traveling to Westmeath. But we are where we are, and we hope we can get a few guys back as well, and that would certainly boost our chances.
Yeah. James, we'll wrap it up, because we have a couple of mad calls for us inside here tonight. We decided to bring them in and leave you out. You don't mix with Kilmaile fellas, John, do you? not too often, anyway. Down got themselves, Carlo kind of tried to help Kildare, didn't help him at all in the end. Down got to the semi-final. Down and Laois, who'll win that, James?
Christ, I know Down were close enough to early in the year, but you'd fancy Laois, you'd have to. I think they're coming good again. They got Ross King back at the weekend there, and there's Stephen Maher's come back in as well. Laois are seriously strong. I think they will even beat Carlo in the final, coming to it. They're seriously strong. They've targeted this year. They're right. We want to get back into the top level, and looking at it, Laois and Carlo probably will be there. Both of them probably will go up into whatever new kind of structure they have. But I'd call Laois anyway, and I'd say, look for Down for a good performance, and maybe they'll carry that momentum into Joe McDonough, because the only thing is Kerry have them in town. That'll be a serious one after the Westmeath game. They're down in Tralee in their second game, so that'll be a serious game then. So hopefully Laois give a good beating.
Good stuff. Richard, final question. Will Carlo win it out?
It's going to be very, very close. I think I'd maybe tip Laois as well. Laois, I think, are a really excellent side. I think what left them down on Saturday was their shooting. But, I think Laois will beat Down, and I think that they may shade it against Carlo, but it's going to be very close.
Final question, Richard. This is definitely the final question. How are you getting on the County League?
we drew against Parnells, and we beat Croke yesterday, so... we have a lot of work to do. I think We have a few guys to come back from injury, but certainly we have a lot of work to do. And look, the progress is there. We have a lot of young players, I suppose. That is our problem in Ballyhigh, you know, and take a while for them to get up to the standard. But look, we'll just keep going and see how it goes, you know.
You can do no more. Listener Stardon James, thanks very much. Up after the break, we talk County League.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, you might have alluded to a bit of a conversation beforehand with myself and Richard. We're talking about Ballyhigh and Dr. Crokes, and of course, and that is the talking about the credit union, the Kerry Credit Union County Leagues, and of course, that's the hurling. The hurling boys are off on a canter. But the football one gets into, I suppose, it's to throw in, I suppose, this weekend, I suppose, coming up fairly quickly. And we decided to bring on a couple of people to talk about the credit union county leagues, I suppose their importance, what they mean, and why they're so loved as well. And we'll talk to a couple of players maybe later on as well. But I'd like to be joined by Taryn Toolan, Kerry CCC, and all the other things that go with him as well. Christy Killeen, and John Regan, who wants to talk hurling, but we'll leave the hurling alone, John. We'll talk about the credit union for a bit. We can talk about the hurling in a while. But delighted to have, and Zach, my main man here as well, he's going to be waving us in for all the breaks as well. Zach, who's a Man United fan as well, actually. There's Ivan. Turn around there to Ivan, give him a wave. Look, he won't even look at you. Still sore, Zach, after yesterday. Yeah, desperate crowd altogether. Christy Killeen, delighted to have you on board. There's a huge history involved with the credit union and the county leagues. We were talking about it a while ago. I mean, you're certainly going back a good few years now.
Absolutely. Good evening, Donald. Yeah, this union between the GGA and the credit unions has begun on now since 2003. So we're about 10th or our 22nd year of working together. And both have worked very well together. And there's two key words that can be associated with both organisations. And that they would be voluntary and community. And you find, you know, when you look into it, it's a lot of the same members that are involved in both, and all on a voluntary basis. And of course, it's very much community orientated. And basically, as I said, they have the same ethos. But the credit union, while it is a financial cooperative who strive to serve the financial needs of its members, and while the Kerry GAA strives to provide positive, leisure, healthy activities and focus for the youth of within the communities. So it's an arrangement that has worked very, very well for the last 21 years and going forward into its 22nd.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to say, when people talk about the county league, they talk about the credit union county league, the tagline is nearly there. It's nearly absolutely married now at this stage. Yeah. People think it's the one thing. John, the county league, it's hurling and football, of course.
It is, of course, yeah. And I suppose what appeals to the credit union side of it and why we have been involved for that length of time is that the county leagues allows players from all grades to take part all over the county, and it has encouraged in both the hurling front, you mentioned a couple of the clubs there earlier on, but also on the football at different levels. So from the credit union point of view, it's an ideal link up, because I suppose we look outside, credit unions look outside themselves and seeing what can be done to promote the community and develop the community as well as the individual members who are benefiting from the credit union. So we have been very pleased to be associated with the county leagues over the last 22 years almost now. You know. Mm-hmm.
And for the next couple of weeks, Terence, there will be no bigger community event than the county league. People will be getting in their cars and travelling up north, down, south, over, west, waiting for referees, umpires, get the results back in. It becomes kind of a little industry in itself, and everybody checks the results that evening to see who they're going. Then after round four, round five, some gang are trying to avoid relegation, some crowd are trying to push on the whole lot. But it really kind of takes up the whole summer, and it takes up the whole summer as well when other clubs won't have their county players, so it's giving everybody a fair whack.
Yeah, I suppose over the years the county league has developed in different formats, and I think that's, you've highlighted there, the inter-county guys are kind of out of the loop now, and with the split season that has taken care of that, and we have the county leagues starting next week, and the run right through to the probably the start of July, and there isn't much room for a break in it. It's non-stop at this stage. You look at the figures here in front of me. We had 423 football games last year and 58 in hurling, which is quite an amount of matches in senior context in the county. So, it dominates the playing games for the next number of months in Kerry, and I think it has served Kerry superbly, and I think it provides a great structure to our season.
Yeah, and most importantly as well, Terence, when you go, in my day, five was like that was the bottom. But now we have Division 6A and B and the whole lot, and we have development leagues, and we're bringing more players back into it as well. I mean, there was a stage when you hit 30 plus, you were kind of out the gap, but now you can be a B player in a bigger club, or maybe you're still playing at that age in a club that just has one team. So it's catering for a lot more players too.
Yeah, I suppose the demographics of the county are going to dictate a lot over the coming years, and I think that's going to play a big factor in the GAA going forward and how we deal with that. As you rightly pointed out, we've Division 5A, 5B, 6A, 6B this year, which takes into account the club who has striving to get 17 or 18 players out, and it takes the club who have 40 plus players, and I think we're catering from all. I suppose I mentioned to Christy today, it's great we've Valencia back in Division 5 this year, we've Tussis back in Division 5, so it just shows you clubs who were probably struggling for a few years get their house in order, get a few players back on board, young lads coming through, and they're back up the divisions and they're rightly playing where they should be playing, and it's great.
John, when you look at the county league and you look at all the teams involved, I mean, there's a massive amount of flags all over nearly every parish in the contributing to it. And yet, like you said, rightly said, I mean, a lot of them are probably credit union members and the whole lot. A lot of them are probably playing as well.
They are absolutely, you know, and I suppose Christy mentioned about the concept of volunteering. A lot of the people who volunteer for credit union activities also are the volunteers and the people who are the mentors and what have you in the GAA clubs. It's nearly a common people right across the board. And I suppose that's the beauty really of this competition, insofar as it, as you said yourself there a while ago, it brings all players of every grade out and gives them an opportunity for exposure and to play as well, to play the game, which is most importantly.
Christy, we had a couple of guys on last week, I remember the late Thomas Sullivan, and up in conversation came Division 5, 94, we played Doha. Division 4, 93, we played Doha. People get those memories. I mean, it's not about the guys with the big cup at the end of the day, and it's a massive cup, Division 1 is, to be fair, a big plaque. But it's those memories, it's those kind of battles with clubs, and unique that different clubs that shouldn't have a rivalry end up having one because of the county league.
Absolutely, you're right. And since the commencement of the idea of the county leagues by Dr. Brosnan back in the 60s, his vision resulted in clubs having to move out of their own local area and play new teams. And as a result of that, you had greater games, greater competitiveness, greater sport and rivalry, longer memories. And the other thing to remember is the county leagues, as they're structured now for a long time back, they're very prestigious and competitive credit union leagues. Those games are very, very competitive. And indeed, our county leagues in Kerry are the envy of many other counties because of their competitiveness, their eagerness of the players to play. No players wants to miss their local game. And of course, in recent years, they know when exactly their games are on. They have a very, very, you know, this schedule is quite good. It's defined. And, you know, as you said, memories and bonds have been formed over the years. And when you have promotion and relegation attached to it, it adds to the competitiveness. And every club is striving to be the best they can. And
there's that bit of pride you don't want to go down. If you're in Division 3, you don't want to end up in 4. And if you're in 4, you don't want to get out of 5. Yeah.
And it's all done in a very healthy, positive manner. And, of course, it's, in its own way, it is contributing to the development of players as, you know, better footballers. And it adds in, feeds into the inter-county scene.
Yeah, there go, Terence. Healthy and positive, huh? Two words that won't turn up in your reports anyway, will they?
Probably not, but a healthy rivalry, I think, might. And I suppose the competitiveness, definitely. It was just as Christy was talking there. I remember last year when we were going to the last round, there was a number of divisions where every team had something to play, and I think there was two of the top five divisions where every team had something to play for, whether it was promotion or relegation or winning it in the last round, which was unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. The three up, three down has made it incredibly compact. It used to be two. You could kind of survive in two, but with three, you can go down now with 10 points, which is nearly five wins, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I think the three up, three down is definitely something that has brought another competitiveness or another format that makes it quite difficult for teams. You can't take your eye off the ball at any stage if you want to stay in the division. Probably if you're at the top end, you're in a different situation. But in one way, that's a fantastic thing to have, three up and three down. And in a second way, all for the year, it probably may be putting a bit of a, I suppose, on clubs trying to stay in the division, it puts a bit of more problems on them and a few issues regarding that. But look, three up, three down has been very good for the competition.
Yeah, absolutely. I think
as well, Donald, an awful lot of players have been unearthed, you know, who wouldn't possibly have been able to get a game in the past. Mm-hmm. They're now playing the game and coming to the fore, you know. So that's a huge advantage, and we're very proud of that.
Absolutely good stuff. Now, after the break, we'll talk to two of those players who had very successful seasons last year. We'll take a quick break now, though.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Very welcome back to Terrace Talk, and of course we are in the company of people chatting about the Credit Union County Hurling and Football Leagues. And of course, as I say, the hurling ones are off in a canter. Three divisions there as well, of course, Division 1, 2A and 2B. And my next guest on the phone, thanks for joining us, two players, of course, who had two successful seasons in two different divisions, and I suppose it was just nice to get a player's perspective of the amount of games you play and the amount of time you put in. Delighted to have Nicholas O'Sullivan, of course, from Ard Firth, and Patrick Darcy, Glenfess. We'll start with you, Nicholas, because I have fond memories of playing Ard Firth anyway, back in the County League, and we were kind of travelling up and down that path together, St. Michael's, Filemore and Ard Firth for years. Nicholas, last season, a very successful season once again by you, and on the way up.
Yeah, good evening, Donald. How are you? Yeah, we had a very successful season last year. You know, we started off with a great against the Stroy, and the season kicked off for us. I suppose we went back into the neighbours Churchill, who gave us a good turning over there, you know, in the early rounds. And then I think it took a long journey down to Port McGee. We had only 16 players down there. I think that was the turning point for our season, and we kind of started to get maybe a few very back as the season went on, and we got stronger. We got over the line, we got focused and things up to Division 2, which was great.
It'll bring its own problems moving up to Division 2 from 3. Patrick Darcy, you were Division 2 last year, moved up to Division 3. Very successful year for Glenfisk.
Yeah, it was a very successful year, Donald, for Glenfisk. Yeah, we started off the year well. Like boys touching us there, the County League is something that's very competitive, and the games are well contested, and Division 2 was no different last year. We had some very tight games. I can't remember us winning any game by a lot, you know, so... Yeah, it was great to be in Division 1 now next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Next week, no, next year. You'll be travelling back to Rotterdam. Come here, Patrick. What goes into it? I mean, obviously, the teams that are successful are kind of maybe jumping through hoops, and you get a win, you get another win, and you kind of win ones that you probably don't deserve to win, and you get that bit of luck along the way. It's a long enough season week after week. Does it have a lot of impact on players?
Yeah, it would have a lot of impact on players. I mean, in a positive way, like, as players, we want to be playing all the time. And, you know, the games are coming quick and fast in the County League. We game nearly every weekend, every second weekend. So it's great. It's unlike any other competition in that way. Mm-hmm. The fact that the game's every weekend and you've five or six games in a row. So it has a positive effect on players, I think.
And Nicholas, I suppose the squad panels get stretched at different times. I mean, sometimes we had Lispold in here at the start of the year, and they were saying, God, they were sending out WhatsApp the night before, and they might have 11 or 12, and they might have 14 or 15 come game time. What was your own situation like this year for Ardfert?
Absolutely, yeah. We're going to be very stressed coming to Division 2 this year. You know, like every other club, we're hit with immigration with Bobby Regan and Owen McGilligan heading to New York. You know, and we have six or seven with the Kerry senior hurlers. We have, you know, four with the Kerry 20 hurlers, and we have two lads in the Kerry 2 football. So we're going to be very stretched running all loose, and that's a step up to Division 2. But, you know, we've had couple of last year's minors coming through, and it gives them an opportunity to play top level football in Kerry and breed them into it. We still have 15 out in the county league day. Again, of course, you know, being a dual club, you'll have the hurlers in the county league on Friday nights, and we'll be playing on Sunday. It stretches the dual player a lot, but you know, we still turn up. We'll play in something. We'll see how things go as the year pans out.
That's good. There'll be no shortage of games if you're playing Friday night in the hurling and you're playing the football as well. The one thing about it though, Nicholas, I mean, for that length of time, and we're talking about 11 or 12 rounds maybe of the football league and of course in the hurling, there must be a great bond built up between players, and when you kind of go into battle, I mean, you're going into battle week after week, and as it kind of turns out, it's year after year as well for a long time, until kind of guys maybe kind of retire or new fellas coming in. What's that mix like in Ardfert? I mean, getting that kind of experience and maybe getting the younger fellas in as well. Is that easy to fit in a small club?
Yeah, like, you know, I suppose it's something you have to work on, but we was trying to beat in young lads into the team, but I always was thinking, you know, you need a couple of the experienced lads as well in pivotal positions around the field, and it brings on the younger lads, you know, and it's a great opportunity to give lads, younger lads games in the county league and building for the championship. You know, it's a good opportunity to them. It is. Right? When you're playing week in, week out, you're training for that lock of couple of months, that you do great, build up a great bond. You know, you're playing with your friends, and it's good for younger lads. I'm 39, and, you know, and my young lad is 17, starting his senior this year. You know, so there's a huge age range in the team, but it's great to have it. It's a great bond.
At least you'll be able to pull him into line anyway, will you?
Well, it might be the other way around, maybe.
Good stuff. Come here, Patrick Darcy. I won't ask your age, but you're between 17 and 39 anyway. Come here to me. Glenn Flesk, I mean, when people talk about Glenn Flesk, they go back to the days of Johnny Crowley and Seamus Moynihan and Godpod Donoghue as well, stuck in the middle of them. That great history, I mean, when they were senior club champions as well. Is that kind of part of the consciousness when you're out playing for Glenn Flesk, that, you know, you're heading back to that level maybe?
Yeah, it's a huge part of it, Donal. I mean, anytime you put on the Glenfest jersey, it's a very proud moment as a player. Yeah, we'd have a rich history in the club. I mean, us in Division 1 now, next Saturday, we're playing Milltown. It's our first time in Division 1 in 20 years. So, yeah, it's taken a huge club support to get there, like from the players, the management, underage coaching, club officers, field committee even, like. Mm-hmm. They've all committed hugely to the club's success. And I suppose we're very conscious that we're representing those people when we go out in the field, yeah. So it is a huge part. The history of the club is a factor in when you're going out in the field, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and of course, look, you're obviously the age that you have a good few friends over in Spa and down in Fuston and the whole lot. Are you on the WhatsApp groups already kind of predicting who's going to have a good season and who's going to struggle?
Well, yeah, I see that there's five East Kerry teams, I think, in Division 1 next year, yeah, so...
There'll be no travelling anyway.
We'll be trying to get one over each other for sure, yeah. It'll be interesting to see. It'll be a great challenge for us now, yeah. Looking forward to it.
Nicholas, when you looked at the fixtures, was there any one or two that you said, oh, God, not again?
Well, yeah, I suppose, look, it's a very tough division, Division 2. We're the only junior Premier or intermediates and senior clubs, you know, and we have a very, very tough first fixture up against Kinmare, you know, and then a way to stack the following week. So there's a couple of tough games in it there for us, you know. We're travelling away to Temple Low as well later in the season. So there's a lot of tough games there for us this season. But, you know, ones will relish the challenge as well.
And the other side of that, Nicholas, of course, from particular players from the days I remember, fellas, you know, they kind of nearly get better when they're playing maybe a team that's a small bit better than themselves. They're going to give an extra 25% maybe, and they're going to end up marking kind of players who I suppose I won't say they're big names, but I mean, they're fellas that might have moved around between under 20s and they might be former Kerry seniors and the whole lot. So they're getting to see a different side of football. I mean, that in itself surely is part of the challenge.
Absolutely. You know, you want to be playing against the top teams. That's where you want to be. That's what you're training for all year. And, you know, we worked for the last 2 years to promote it from 4 to 3 and up to 2. You know, and it's 2 is where we want to stay and try and progress as a club. You know, and like we do have that challenge, like I said, with a lot of Arfor footballers that are good hurlers for the county, you know, and the season, the way it runs. But look, it's about taking over, and it gives a chance to, like that, the other fellas to maybe hold on to the jersey, not give it back to the fellas that are away, you know, and try their best.
Mm-hmm. Finally, Patrick, I mean, County League Day, for a lot of clubs, it's an event. I mean, it's the guy at the gate collecting the money. It's the man or the woman inside the shop selling the tea and the biscuits and the cake and the whole lot, and the stand getting full. I presume there's an awful lot of volunteers, and it's kind of tying in with the credit union here as well, needed on the day to host a County League game as well.
A County League Day in Glenfesk is a huge day in the parish, yeah. I mean, it's a huge community day for the community, and yeah, it's fantastic. Really, it's a great competition, and any day you're hanging out on the field, especially when you're playing Division One now, they're the days you live for. Really, so yeah, fantastic.
Fair play. Now, if I was really bad now, Nicholas and Patrick, I'll ask you, could you predict the three teams that are going to be relegated out of 1 and 2 this year? But we won't do that to you. Listen, guys, thanks very much, and the very best of luck in the league ahead. Hopefully you'll negotiate it well and safely and soundly, and you don't appear in front of Terence too often, or none at all maybe as well. And Nicholas, will you mind the 17-year-old, will you?
We will indeed.
Good stuff, fair play to you. That's Nicholas Sullivan, of course, Ardfert, and Patrick Darcy of Glenfisk. Just two of the players that are playing County League football for the season ahead, and of course, very successful seasons last year. Patrick Darcy, of course, coming from that Glenfisk club. Amazing when he says it's the first time in 20 years that Glenfisk are in Division 1. Is it that long? It's amazing how time flies by. And Nicholas Sullivan, Ardfert, of course, they were in Division 1 for a long time, but he talked about the journey going from 4 to 3 to 2. That's part of it as well. Christy, the journey. I mean, obviously, you're in one league for 1 year as such, but obviously, I mean, people are going from 4 to 3 to 2, and some obviously are going from 2 to 3 to 4. And you know, it's year on year.
And that has been part and parcel of the scene of the last number of years. Clubs embrace it, clubs take it on. The clubs are always striving to get promoted. But if they get relegated, they just take it, reset, and go again the following year. So there's a continuous movement and ambition year after year. And, of course, it is embracing newer players, older players. Some players leave, others come on the scene. So it is, and those new players are experiencing something new to them. They're developing. And every so often a club will have a good run. If a number of narrow victories could make a big difference, and they can, you know, enjoy success. And another year, things may not go that well for them, but as I said, they'll just reset, regroup, and start again the following year.
There's always another year, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. John, come here to me. A causeway man.
Yes, indeed.
No, a soccer man to a causeway man. Which way do you look over the ditch when you're playing football?
Well, there isn't a football team in Causeway at the moment, but we did have football teams in the past, indeed, and I played myself, yeah. But I suppose from the hurling is the...
The main.
Yeah, well, it's the main outlet.
Let's talk about the hurling as well, because obviously, I mean, there's more than just the football side. We've three divisions in the hurling: Division 1, Division 2A and 2B. And I was looking through it. I mean, teams like Douan, Rathmore, and
absolutely,
I wouldn't maybe associate with hurling, but they're getting their 6 or 8 or 10 games in the county league as well, which must be massive for the sport.
It is wonderful to see it now, and we tried for so long to try and achieve that, and this has been achieved through the county league structure. It is really is proof positive, I suppose, yeah, of the value of it, you know.
Now you're listening to Terrence Talk, Donal Barry here in the studio at 8 o'clock, and I'm in the company of Christy Killeen, Terrence Houlihan and John O'Regan. And I want to thank Nicholas O'Sullivan there at Firth and Patrick Darcy for taking the phone calls there. Of course, obviously, they're out training or something, getting ready for their big games of the weekend. There's nothing like the County League when it actually starts, Terrence, and it starts this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose before I go any further, I'd just like to take the opportunity to thank the Credit Union for their continued support. They've been great supporters of Kerry GAA for the last 20 plus years, as the lads have outlined, and we really appreciate it and look forward to many more years of it going forward. Yeah, so we're kicking off with the football this weekend. The hurling has two rounds played. It continues for the next number of months. It really doesn't stop. We have number of weeks where we go week after week, so it's going to provide a load of games for players, and I'm sure it's going to be great enjoyment, and competitiveness will kick in as we go through the league.
Yeah, and the other side of it too, Terrence, is people are getting to the stage now where the weather is absolutely down their back and they just want to go out and bit of football, walk down to the local GAA club once a fortnight and watch their local team, or maybe get in the car and travel 10 miles or 50 miles over to watch a game. And once the games start, they take on a life of their own. People get interested then, people look at the results and they know who's playing, and of course the local newspapers will have the notes in and the big reports if they win, and no report at all if they don't win. And that's all part of it.
That's all part of it, and I suppose from my point of view, CCC, I hope the weather clears up between here and next weekend, because I think if we had played this weekend, we may have been under a bit of pressure to get a lot of the games played. But yeah, absolutely, I think people really enjoy the core thrust of the competition and the weekly games and going off and travelling around the county. And I think there has been, as you've rightly pointed out, clubs who've gotten very familiar with each other in divisions, and there's a great rivalry being built up and a great camaraderie, I think, as well with the clubs.
And the other side of it is, if you look at Division 1, I mean, obviously Patrick touched on it, there are five East Kerry teams in Division 1, they're nearly all kind of picking out of each other's area and the whole lot, so they know each other. There's obviously the same connection as well, obviously, because you can throw that around it. And then Nicholas kind of touched on it, that, you know, we're going to Temple Now, we're going to Kinmare. They're senior teams in Division 2 as well. So, I mean, there's no easy game along the way, what division you're in.
Yeah, I think, I suppose, as I've said already, the closeness of the divisions last year outlined how competitive it is. And really, I think clubs really find their... It's a bit like the championships later in the year where they're graded and they're in their grade. I think in the County League, a lot of clubs have found their grade. You look at Division 2, is there three senior county championship teams in there playing their trade in Division 2, which makes it very, very strong division. Division 1 has many of the central band clubs of the county there, so there isn't a whole pile of travelling. I suppose Dingle and Gale took their outliners there, but I think even if you go down the divisions, and I think as well now we have a lot of second teams coming in, the B teams, which are making Division 5 very competitive, and going forward that looks like that's going to be the trend going forward.
John, obviously this doesn't happen by accident, there's a lot of moving blocks, a lot of people to thank.
Sorry?
There's a lot of people to thank along the way, isn't
there? Oh, absolutely, very much so. And we would like, first of all, there to compliment and thank the officers of Cumann, Lucas, Gael, Kyrie, for being so positive and supportive of the work. And we can see there the enthusiasm coming out of Terrence as he talks about
it. It'll be gone by round four, I guarantee you. Or maybe even round three. Yeah.
And I suppose, very importantly as well, we would want to wish, the credit unions would want to wish and text in best wishes to all the players and all the clubs, and that they have success, but most of all that they enjoy what they're doing, which I think they do, you know.
Your own memories of the County League, Christy, give us one, surely.
Oh, that's back in my days. That's a good number of years back. I know back then if we got, is it 8 points or maybe 9, we were safe. And playing with Finoig, that was our target for many a day until we got,
that golden journey and that golden team that came along and you went all the way to the All-Ireland.
That's right. Yeah, I'm talking about prior to that.
Yeah.
It was a case of trying to stay in the division. If we could win 2 games, maybe 3 or 4, then you could kind of relax a bit. Yeah. And play out the rest of the games. But that's different now today, though.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, today 8 points won't save your life at all. Go back and tell me who were the teams you were playing. Finoig, who were you playing?
I remember going back to Lisbon quite often. We were going down to Kiel, Glen Bay. We were going down to South Kerry a few times.
You never lost down there, did you?
In fairness, we met great people down there. They always guided us the right way eventually. They might give us a bit of a hammering during the game, but afterwards they were great.
They're kind people.
And of course, we'd always have a few of our own neighbours from North Kerry as well.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, looking back on it, great memories. And back then, as we said earlier on, there's a number of parts in the county that we only heard of but never was in. And, you know, the county leagues gave us that opportunity, you know, to go to those places.
Absolutely, John.
Yeah, very much so. And I agree completely with what Christy has been saying there. And I think it's important, really, I suppose, to acknowledge as well the admiration of everybody in the county for the county teams and, you know, both hurling and football.
Absolutely.
And
and this is where it begins for a lot of them as well.
And this is where it begins. This is the foundation.
They good seasons. Yeah. Come here, Christy. There's more than the County League going on, of course. I mean, your men have about 14 caps. Talk to us about the Lee Strand, Scorna Bosty, Score Kerry Senior.
Oh, yeah. Event on Moor. A very busy weekend coming up. We have Scorna Bosty, sponsored by Lee Strand, and that's on, well, it's on two occasions. So much activity has been decided to reschedule the quiz, Try and the Gisht, okay, for Friday evening.
Oh, very good.
And that's a big occasion now in the John Mitchell's GA complex. And at 6:30, we have all the teams from the Scorna Bosty quiz teams. And at 8 o'clock, we have the Score Sheen, so the Senior Score quiz. And again, teams of four. We encourage every club to enter a team because they're representing that club in another phase, you know, not on the field as such, but on this indoor arena. And a range of topics and the questions, you know, from GAA, current affairs, history, geography, general knowledge. And we can guarantee that the questions are balanced, which is an amount of fun and enjoyment in you know, a relaxed environment. And then on Saturday, that's the big day.
And it is a big day.
Absolutely.
And a long day.
A long day. And that's in the Tin Town Centre in Ballyburnin. And it commences at 11:30 in the morning. And because the Scorna Bosty event is such a large event, it has been restructured, and the organisers now have restructured it into three phases. And the first phase will begin at 11:30 a.m. in the morning for three events. They'll be completed, the results announced and the awards given out, and then at 2:15, the second session will start for another three events. And again, at 4:30, the remaining events will go on. And that will complete Scorna Bosty. And Scorna Bosty is basically for the primary schools. Mm-hmm. It's confined to the county only, but it's always a very...
It's a fantastic event.
Event, big numbers, great interest, and it's a great occasion.
And it's a county final.
Absolutely.
North, south, east, west, and everywhere.
And of course, the other added thing is all those who participate, They're learning, they're experiencing, they're representing their club, their school, and they're also representing their family, and they're going on stage and they're learning a new skill, a new experience, and that stands them invariably down the road.
I'm glad you said it, because obviously I have to wish the best of luck at Kilcone, because they're going at the 2:15 section and you're in the novelty act, and it's kind of ironic because they're taking on Fylemore, so I don't have to, my fingers crossed here. I'd be like yourself, we'll be playing hurling with football. But the one thing about it, I have to say, Christy, is that it kind of enables kids to do something that, okay, we all want to play in the football team and we all want to be the best at everything, but it brings another gang of children in, a collective of kids, and it gives them that kind of, you know, that you can stand on stage and sing your song for your 3 minutes in front of sometimes 20 people, more time 400 yes. people, and it gives them that confidence, which I suppose most kids have massive confidence today, but it's a great skill to have. And obviously people looking ahead, and they're looking at Cillian Murphy winning the best Oscar and this kind of stuff, all this kind of lends that pathway. Yeah.
Absolutely, and as you say, it is important to recognise that not everybody is a skilled footballer or hurler. That there are also other sections within the club, members in the club, that have other talents.
Mm. Like Terence, he couldn't take a 45, but he could sing well, is it?
You know, you have talented singers, talented musicians, storytelling, recitation, even, you know, acting, novelty act. and you have figure dancing, set dancing. Mm-hmm. And in most clubs, every club, they have people who are capable of participating in those disciplines. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And it brings in new volunteers to the club as well, a lot of them, the teachers and the whole lot that help out.
And all of those are actually representing that club as well.
Which is important.
Yeah, which is important. And then later on Saturday evening, then at 7 o'clock, the senior score for all those on-stage events commence. And that's another big event. Now, it's a long, long day, but the organisers felt because of so many other events happening all around the place, instead of having 2 days and 3 days, to just confine it to 1 day,
yep.
Which is very hard on the organisers, very hard on stewards and so on, but they're volunteers and they give that time. Mm-hmm. You know,
and just to be sure and safe and certain, scoring the Bosch, he stays within the county, so the winners are the winners and that's it, and there's no more. But there is an out for the seniors.
There is indeed. The qualifiers will go on to the Munster finals, which are scheduled for Saturday the 13th of April, at a venue to be confirmed. And of course, the real bonus is the next stage, the All-Ireland finals. We're hosting it in Killarney, the INEC, on Saturday the 11th of May again. And we find we've been asked year after year to host it, and we're delighted to have the INEC, which all around the country score people that are delighted to come to Killarney for that big event. And we look forward to having a number of Kerry representatives on stage in the All-Ireland finals next May.
Absolutely.
The cone of day.
And so say all of us. Now, another little man in the studio, if there's passing the mic there. What's your name?
Zach,
good man. And what age are you, Zach?
7.
And where are you from?
Killorglen.
Killorglen? Wow, good town, is it? Do you play with Lone Rangers?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Who's your favourite soccer team?
Man United.
And who's your favourite player in the Man United team? You can say all of them. They were all
of them.
All of them, good man. We'll accept that as an answer. Were you watching the game yesterday?
Yeah.
Was it exciting?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Who won it?
Man United.
Who did we beat?
Liverpool.
See, Ivan said I couldn't say that, but he never said it. I couldn't get a 7-year-old to say it. Well done, Zach. You'll be back next week and for many more weeks with it as well. Listen, guys, the very best to luck with it. It's a fantastic competition. As I said, it was my one pathway into football. It's like Christy. We saw parts of the county. We got spins on bits of buses and buses breaking down. And yeah. We went back to a club in West Kerry one time and they gave us a fair hiding anyway on the football match, but we were invited back anyway after. Very prominent little man from West Kerry invited us back to his own establishment, and he was going to feed us and he was going to look after us and the whole lot, and we got there eventually anyway, and we were served the nicest marmalade sandwiches you ever saw in your whole life. And you can absolutely
and of course the Credit Union County League and the credit unions in the county, just to mention them, we have Carrick Credit Union, Killarney Credit Union, Ratmore Credit Union, Listowel Credit Union, and our neighbours in Abbeyfield. So all 5 credit unions are supportive and contributing to this sponsorship. And again, we wish everybody well for 2024.
And I bet they all have their own favourite clubs within that too, don't they?
Absolutely, they do indeed.
Good stuff. Listen, guys, thanks very much. The very best look in the year ahead. It's fantastic to see it getting underway. Fingers crossed for your turns with the fields, because I know it's hard even to get places to train, never mind matches and all that, and the minors are on and the under-15s are on, and it becomes really, really busy. But listen, the very best luck. That was tonight's show. Thanks to John and Liam. We were talking about Roscommon earlier on, Richard, of course, and James McCarthy about Kerry versus Laois, which was we'll be on that again, the County League. Big thank you to Nicholas O'Sullivan and Patrick Darcy from Glenflesk as well, and to Dan Kearney, bringing us all the best of the news with the Kerry ladies, and maybe if you're around the weekend, why not go to Ballybunion to see Score? It's on all day anyway, so you won't miss it. The Teton
they fought to the Gokania.
Absolutely. And if you're not there, go down and support your local football team. They're in action in the County League, or maybe the Friday night you can go see hurling match as well.
Match indeed, absolutely.
Absolutely, plenty fields there too for them as well. And big thanks to Zach. Who's the best team again, Zach?
Man United.
That's it, fair play to you. Got away with 2 of them in one night. It would be murder for this. Good evening, we'll talk to you all again next week.